Let's turn together to Psalm 90. Psalm 90 is our new Psalm of the month, and I'll read it as it appears here in the scriptures, and then we'll be singing it as well from our Psalter. Psalm 90. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man to destruction and say, "Return, O children of men." For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. You carry them away like a flood. You are like a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes and grows up. In the evening it is cut down and withers. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70. And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. O, satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants, and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of their God, of the Lord our God, be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. The psalm is indicated as being a psalm of Moses. Kind of a surprise, as most of the psalms are written by David or the sons of Korah. So here we have something extraordinary, a psalm of Moses, the man of God, that is recorded for the church to sing throughout its ages. Moses probably wrote this towards the end of his life. And it's good for us to remember some of the things that Moses went through that will be reflected in this psalm. Moses had been chosen by God to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of their bondage. He saw the mighty works of God, the miracles that he performed, and the plagues that brought Egypt to humility and brought the Israelites out. They were led by God, by the pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. And they had the tabernacle of the presence of the Lord right in their midst. And God led them to the promised land, only to have the children of Israel rebel and say, "Let's go back to Egypt because there are giants in the land of Egypt, or in the land of Israel, and there's no way that we'll defeat them." And so, in God's providence, he disciplined them and turned them around from the promised land, and they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years of, in a sense, not having a home. They lived in their tents and moved from place to place, wandering in the wilderness. And towards the end of that period, we believe Moses wrote this psalm. Significantly, Moses begins the psalm with this remarkable statement: "Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations." Remember where Moses had been living for these last 40 years? in a wilderness, in a sense, not having a home, and certainly not living in the promised land. But what Moses communicates is the conviction that God was their refuge, that God was their home. In fact, it didn't matter where they lived, whether they lived in the promised land or in the wilderness, or even back in Egypt in their time of captivity, God was their dwelling place. It didn't matter if they lived in tents or houses or desert or palace, a land flowing with milk and honey, God was their dwelling place. Moses works that out then, and works out that history of their experience of God over the Exodus period in the psalm that follows. Look at verses 2 through 6, and you'll see how Moses reflects on God's nature, especially contrasting it with man's nature. Moses says that God is infinite and eternal, while man is mortal and turning to dust at death. But God is from everlasting to everlasting. In a sense, he could say, what is 40 years to God? It's nothing. His promise endures. You also can't help but think of Moses nearing the end of his life and directing the Israelites, in a sense, away from him and away from his leadership to God, who was really their leader. You know, a transition of leadership can often be a time of much turmoil among a people. And Moses wasn't going to go into the promised land. And in anticipation of that, Moses reflects on the importance of God being their dwelling place, God being their leader. That would surely make the transition from Moses to Joshua an easier one. If they weren't looking to Moses or to Joshua, but looking to God. We too have an important attention paid to God, no matter who the human leadership is. In fact, I would urge you to direct your attention away from pastoral leadership in a very important way, to see that God is ultimately the leader. And it doesn't matter who, in one sense, the human leaders are. They are under-shepherds to the great shepherd, Jesus Christ. Look at verses 7 through 11. You'll note that not only is man finite, but he's also fallen and sinful. Because he is fallen and sinful, they're disciplined by God. And Moses reflects on that and remembers God's discipline against the Israelites. It is a discipline that meant that all of those of 20 years age and older would pass away in the wanderings of the wilderness, except for Joshua and Caleb. They were, in a sense, consumed by God's wrath, his discipline. And during that time in the wilderness, they came to a realization that God is holy and we are not. And it prompts Moses to pray to the Lord for compassion and for mercy to fulfill his promises. It leads us in a very similar way to approach the Lord as not only finite but fallen, redeemed by Christ and yet still struggling with sin, and admitting that we too need Jesus Christ, that we take refuge as sinners before the mercy seat of God in Jesus. Look at verses 12 through 17 then. The last half of the psalm constitute Moses' appeal. So teach us to number our days, that we may have a heart of wisdom. As our days are finite and short, Moses is saying, make us to be patient and wise to wait upon you. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Moses is saying, as we are sinful, have mercy on us. And verses 14 through 16 express the desire that we would find refuge in God, his steadfast love, his works, and his and his glorious power. The psalm closes finally by saying, "Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. It's that appeal to show compassion and to say, as they enter into the promised land, may that entrance not be an entrance based on their work or their good things, but instead based upon the establishment of God. This is a psalm that prompts us to think of God's faithfulness as well. It makes us to remember the past and his mercy to us. He has been our dwelling place throughout all generations. It prompts us to realize the present reality that we stand before the presence of the Lord in Jesus Christ. And we do that as finite and fallen men. We do that through the mercy of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. And it calls us to look forward to the future. The immediate future includes the work of our hands in this life. Since Christ has died for us, we live for him. And we ask that the work of our hands would glorify him. But the eternal future is in view as well. That when we die, we will turn to dust, but we will live forever, both spiritually in the presence of the Lord, and at the resurrection in Jesus Christ, we will live bodily and spiritually in God's presence forever. Because of this, we can follow Moses in asking God to teach us to number our days and to set our hearts on wisdom's ways. We'll be singing this psalm and asking God to do that and professing that he is our dwelling place. We'll sing the first portion, selection A, as it's found in your Psalter. I invite you to please turn there. Psalm 90, selection A. I invite you to please stand to praise God.